Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Our next guest is ready to go. Aged 33, he's decided to call time in his career. Over 130 appearances for Munster. He played for London Irish and more recently Montpellier. Two Heineken Cups in there with Munster. A Grand Slam winner with Ireland in 09. Tomás O'Leary, you're very welcome to the show. Congratulations on that career.
Cheers, Joe.
Is this one of the days where you can sit back and be proud and let it sink in what you did manage to achieve?
Yeah, I guess so. I suppose when you're announcing it, you can, I suppose, take the luxury of looking back and kind of remembering the good days and the good times you had. I guess the nature of being a sports person is you're constantly trying to improve, and I suppose you look at the bad days and the negative days and the days that don't go well, and you're always looking to the next success. So I guess when you finish, you can kind of sit back and enjoy the good times and realise that you did okay out of it.
Yeah, it must be a strange thing because, I mean, what you say there is a very common thing for sports people to tell us. You can't rest on your laurels. You can't luxuriate in how brilliant you are. You have to keep looking at where you can improve. So it's suddenly a complete 180 reversal when you do retire, and, you know, you should rightly take some joy from what you managed to achieve.
Yeah, I guess so. And I suppose it's a problem that a lot of sports people had, and probably the writer too, that probably didn't enjoy the good days enough. And it's only when, I suppose, you go through a bit of hardship and I suppose you go through leaner times in your career that you look back and say, geez, you know, we had it good back then, and we probably are always looking to the future rather than kind of dwelling on the present and enjoying the moment. But as you said, for the luxury of retirement and the luxury of finishing up, you kind of realise that, and I suppose you'll always have your memories anyway from sport. So I guess that's the great thing.
Yeah. Were you conscious of those moments, the Grand Slam moments, the two Heineken Cups? Were you conscious that maybe you weren't enjoying it as much as you should be? Or do you even think like that in those moments?
I guess so. Well, like, for instance, now with the Grand Slam, you're obviously aware of the magnitude of the you know, the game and the magnitude of the moment. But, you know, you have a couple of days to enjoy it. But then, you know, you're back into your club on the Monday. And I remember I was back playing the following Friday or Saturday with Munster. So, you know, from the Monday, you're straight back into training onto the next game. On the preview. So I guess it's not like in All-Ireland at the end of September where you can just, you know, down tools and soak it up for a few weeks and soak it up for the winter. It's not like that in professional rugby or professional sport, but you still enjoy it. And I suppose, you know, when you do meet up with the guys again, then you can savour the moment and, you know, I suppose reminisce about the stories and about the good times. So I guess you'll always have that.
Yeah, I think there was. Wasn't there a 10-year reunion for you Munster boys from 06 recently?
Yeah, that was last summer.
Yeah. What kind of debauchery took place on that trip away?
I was very quiet and civilised. One or two drinks. But no, so yeah, like hopefully we'll have another one now next year to commemorate 08. But like, I guess, you know, it was just great to get all the lads together. I think majority of the boys were able to go and we went to the, you know, played a few holes of golf and had a few drinks. And you know, as I said, just, you know, recount stories and tales of nights out and, you know, games and stuff. And, you know, I suppose the good times and you just laugh and I suppose your kids again, like, so, you know, those times are kind of priceless. And I suppose those memories and those friendships are what you really take from rugby, like, and obviously the successes, the titles are important. But, you know, when you retire from, I suppose, from any workplace or any team, it's the kind of friendships and the emotions and stuff that get the better of you rather than thinking back about successes and, you know, different achievements. It's kind of the relationship and the experiences that you'll miss, really.
We saw you leave Munster for London Irish and then return to Munster. And then Montpellier was your most recent port of call. And your first game there, there was a knee injury. You were out until Christmas. So talk to us about the decision to retire at 33 and the process.
Well, I guess, as you said, like, I guess my first spell in Munster was most successful. And then I had a string of injuries. And I suppose even from 2010 or 11, my body wasn't doing what I wanted to. So I suppose the last kind of 5-6 years of my career were, I suppose, an adjustment for me in terms of, you know, physically, I wasn't able to do what I used to be able to do in terms of, I suppose, speed and power and strength, and I suppose that was always a bit of my game. So it's kind of adjust my mindset set and almost accept that I wasn't physically as capable as I was previously. So that was obviously difficult for me.
Mm. And has the body completely ground to a halt, Tomás, or could you eke out another year or two if you really were desperate to?
No, I could have eked out another year or two, definitely. Like I said, I kind of have adjusted my game, and I suppose, you know, I wouldn't have been as physical as I was at the start of my career. And I suppose in my position, you can learn to dictate the game or manage the game, and you can control the tempo of the game. So I could have eked out another year or two, but, you know, haven't seen how physical the game has got. You know, it's a dangerous game too. So I guess, you know, being a father now and haven't seen other lads end of a career-ending injuries, I don't want that. And I don't want to be rehabbing an injury kind of 6 months after I'm retired, or I don't want an injury affecting me, you know, kicking a ball about with my family in the future. So, like my body's okay. Like, thankfully, day to day, you know, you hear of other players who struggle day to day, whether it's their knee or their back or their hips. You know, I don't have any major aches and pains day to day. And, you know, I'm able to hit the gym, and I'm able to go for a run. And, you know, next year I might even go back playing a bit of hurling. But, you know, I'm going to take a break for the summer now. I guess recuperate, enjoy a bit of freedom, enjoy the lack of intense rugby load on the body, and then kind of take it from there.
Yeah, fatten up a bit, I think is
exactly. Well, I've done that in the last few weeks, last month or two, anyway. So, French living will do that too.
I'm sure. Yeah, all that nice wine. And can I? So, you know that period you're talking about, because it's very interesting to hear you talk about your career, almost in two halves. You reach these amazing highs with Munster. Two Heineken Cups, you win a Grand Slam, you're selected on a Lions tour, and then the following 18 months, these injuries kick in and the back kicks in and you have to adjust your game. Are you an intensely frustrated player on the pitch in that second half of your career, where you're seeing gaps or you're seeing moments where a 22-year-old Tomás O'Leary would have pounced, and you have to, you know, you can't do it effectively? Like, are you constantly walking around and your instincts are to do something else and you have to rein them in, or do you very quickly get used to what you're capable of, and it's not such a frustrating experience?
I suppose initially it was extremely frustrating, and
because I presume you're still trying to do certain things and you're finding out the hard way you can't do them.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, physically, well, I guess age anyway, I suppose, deteriorates your ability physically. But
sure.
I guess mine was pretty kind of sudden. So yeah, like you're constantly trying to tell yourself you'll get back, and for the first few years there's a bit of denial, and you're trying to, I suppose, create positive images and positive feedback to yourself, and, you know, I suppose believe that you'll get back to the previous heights. But then I guess there's a bit of an acceptance there that, you know, this is how I am. You know, I'm not able to train as much as I am, I'm not as fit, I'm not as strong or quick as I used to be. So, you know, reality bites pretty quickly, and then like I said, you just kind of adjust your game, adjust your expectations, and you just have to accept, you know, that's where you are, and that's what your ability is. So
and do you enjoy it within those new parameters ever?
Yeah, I did, but it took a few years to accept that.
Right.
Like, I suppose leaving Munster was probably the best thing I could have done in order to accept it, because I suppose at Munster, it was kind of so intense, and, you know, the support of, you know, your everyone, like whether you're in Cork or Limerick or wherever throughout the province, or even, you know, in the country of Ireland, especially the way rugby has gone and rugby went, you know, there was massive buzz and, you know, massive profile around rugby players and around Munster and Leinster, and you could never really get away from, I suppose, the hype or the build up to games or the reaction to games. And so it was kind of all-encompassing, and you could never get a break from it. So,
especially if you're feeling like you're not the player you were.
Exactly.
You don't meet people every day.
With my lack of form, and with, I suppose, the few injuries, you know, you're a bit downbeat anyway. So, you know, I just chatted to my wife, and we said, look, you know, I think I need to get out of here. I need to just do something different. And, you know, London was brilliant. Like, London Irish, you obviously go to a club, which was struggling. You know, we finished, I think, third last second last and third last in the leagues the year I was there, the 3 years I was there. And like, if we had any kind of results, like, you know, you lose the game in Munster and there's a review and everyone is slating each other and, you know, you're not looking forward to the Monday yet. You got to London and all of a sudden you have to get used to losing and maybe winning is the exception. So it was a total shift of mindset, and the first 6-9 months were extremely frustrating. And, you know, I was like, what have I done here? And, you know, I've made a massive mistake. But then after kind of 6 months, got settled into London. And my wife was working inside the city. She loved it. You know, there's a great bunch of lads at the club. And I just kind of embraced rugby again and just started enjoying it for what it was. Right. So, and obviously the, you know, the benefits of living in London, was able to enjoy things and enjoy the anonymity of living in London as well. So, I think that was, you know, it was brilliant for me to leave Munster and get away from the hype and go to London and enjoy my few years there. Like,
yeah, amazing place to spend a few years for sure. Of the success of the really brilliant days, the Grand Slam, the two Heineken Cups, are there memories or a story that stands out in your mind when you look back?
No, like, just, I suppose, just the sheer buzz of those campaigns. And like I said, you know, everyone just went rugby mad for a while. And I was, you know, the reason I went playing rugby was, you know, because Munster were taking off. They were getting to Heineken Cup semi-finals. You know, these lads, you were looking up to Paulie, Raj, and all of a sudden, then you're playing with them. Like, so I suppose the first season I was there, we won a Heineken Cup. And then 2 years later, we did as well. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, from 3-4 years in the academy to playing with these lads, it's just the buzz. And then all of a sudden, they're your mates and you're having the crack. And but I suppose the biggest memories I'll have were probably the tours and the crack we had in tours. Like, we went away to Chicago, to Boston, and all these places at Munster, and then obviously the international tours as well. So just the crack you have on those tours, and obviously the experience of playing international rugby too. But there's no standout stories or moments really. It's just all the little memories and all the, I suppose, the like, it's an extension of school without the homework and without the hassle of being in school. It's just you're all kids together enjoying yourselves and loving what you do. So you know, that's the kind of thing you miss. But I was lucky to have done it and done it with the group I did it with.
Yeah, it's a special group, and you know, I think people realise that at the time, and then the more we even get to know lots of them in retirement on the show, you realise, you know, it's some fairly special, hilarious people in there that I can imagine what it's like to be teammates with them. What's your attitude now to the future, Tomás? Like, do you feel prepared for the real world? Do you feel like full of interest that you want to pursue, or is there a sense of dread about the real world?
I suppose there's both. Like, I suppose you have a bit of trepidation in going into the unknown, because you've always had that, I suppose that's, you know, a bit of safety with rugby. And as people say, you know, you're in a bit of a bubble.
Yeah, it's a pampered, privileged, fun existence in lots of ways.
Exactly. But, you know, with that trepidation, you know, there's excitement too. You know, like I said, I'm ready to retire.
Right.
You know, I've got so much out of rugby, and, you know, I'm content that I've finished that part of my life, and, you know, ready to move on. So, and like you said, there's opportunity out there, and thankfully, when I went to London, I kind of realised that I needed to prepare for life after rugby. I think I was 29. Like I said, you know, I realised that it was a finite career, and, you know, when I was in London, started networking, started meeting a lot of people. I got involved with a recruitment company, Red Zone Recruitment, over there.
Right.
And obviously set up my watch company, Toll & Co. as well. So I have a couple things on the go already and looking at other opportunities. So, like, you're not totally jumping into the deep end. I've dipped my toe and I've, you know, been involved in a couple of companies already. You know, I've done a bit of the work with, you know, various media operations and stuff, you know, in the latter years of my career. I've enjoyed that. So, you know, I always realised that rugby was going to finish.
And in those London years, when you're, like, that's a really interesting thing to do, to just network and meet people. Are you just trying to reach out to business people who impress you and meet them for a coffee and ask them what advice they can give you? Is it that kind of a deal?
Kind of. Like, I suppose we have the, you know, the Players Association in England, same as the Players Association in Ireland. And, you know, your rep, you know, I suppose, encourages you to pursue areas of your own interest. And I guess London, you know, I kind of embraced whatever little Irish networks are there, because, you know, you find when you go abroad that people, especially Irish people, really look out for each other. So just a few opportunities to meet people from all sorts of businesses, and then you kind of gravitate towards those who you build a rapport with, and then kind of pursue opportunities that interest you. And, you know, the watch companies, you know, setting up my own watch company always kind of piqued an interest for me. So I just, you know, while I was in London, I said I'd do that, and right. I just happened to meet a couple of lads who were in the recruitment business, and we decided we'd set up a recruitment company as well. So I guess when you go away from home, you kind of, you have to, I suppose, go outside of your comfort zone, and, you know, your family aren't around, and, you know, you're not surrounded by lads you played with for whatever, 5-6 years or longer, in terms of lads you played with through school. So you have to kind of, get out of your comfort zone and just embrace it. So I think, like I said, you know, just off the rugby pitch as well, it was very beneficial moving away from home.
Yeah, sounds like a brilliant couple of years. All right. Last point then. So it seems like you're going to base yourself in Cork, and if you're talking about going back maybe and hitting playing a bit of hurling again.
Well, this summer, like I said, I'm going to chill out and relax. We're heading back to Montpellier. My wife and I and our kid, Jamie, and my wife, Julie, we're heading back to Montpellier at the weekend on Sunday, and we're going to probably stay there for the rest of the summer. It's a beautiful place, and then maybe, we haven't decided definitely, but it looks like we'll come back to Cork, alright, kind of September time, and then we'll see how the body and mind are next January, February, and if I want to dust off the old hurley and give it a go. But we're just going to enjoy the summer in Montpellier, and then see what opportunities I suppose come up in Cork and further afield.
Yeah, take a bit of time, I guess, to clear the head, because I mean, people I'm sure are very familiar with your father Shawnee's exploits in the hurling field. They may not realise you won a minor All-Ireland. You were the captain, I think, of Cork in 2001 before you switched to the rugby, so you know what you're doing with the hurl.
I did anyway. and my like I said, I was a little whip then. I was a lot quicker, and obviously I was very skillful, but, you know, I haven't really played too much hurling, obviously, since I get my last game when I was at 19 with my club Erin Zone.
Yeah.
So that's a fair few years ago. So that's, you know,
it's like riding a bike.
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll see now next year if the mind is willing. I think I'll give it a go. All right. So
That'd be magic to get back, and if you could squeeze a year or two or three of hurling out of the next couple of years, that'd be brilliant.
Exactly. I'll leave Dennis Kieran Kingston to give me a call, and winning on Ireland as well. That'll be the right
dream. Listen, congratulations again. Two Anington Cups, Grand Slam winner with Ireland. Like, you know, you managed to squeeze more than a lot of people do into a career just in terms of trophies alone. And we wish you the very best for the future. Cheers, Tomás.
Cheers, Joe.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.